Aaron, please be seated.
You know, Rabbi Lawrence Hortus died. Did you see today's funeral? He was up at the yeshiva. There's a graveside funeral at 2 o'clock.
Gentlemen, we're under the constraints of the clock because we all have to...
You know, Rabbi Lawrence Hortus died. Did you see today's funeral? He was up at the yeshiva. There's a graveside funeral at 2 o'clock.
Gentlemen, we're under the constraints of the clock because we all have to clear out of here in time to attend Dr. Lamb's shiur. And therefore, I will forego any Torah that I would share with you at this time. I have the pleasure of attending Rabbi Schechter's shiur in Brooklyn every week, and I must tell you, every week is a trip through Shas, literally a trip through Shas, and through many, many interesting things, and the unbelievably amazing recollection of every word that the Rav has said on any particular sugya, and which of course brings back many things and of course tells us many new things, and then of course Rabbi Schechter's own construction of the shiur and his insights are of tremendous value. And therefore a problem which of course faces every one of us in our congregations today is the subject of this morning's shiur, the intermarriage on our doorstep. How do we respond? That we all have this problem goes without saying. That it's becoming a more aggravated problem is also self-understood. And without any further ado, Haram HaGoen, Herschel Schechter Schlieper.
Thank you very much. Maybe first I'll discuss little details, and then we'll try to get to the more difficult parts. The Ramah in Yerideya, in the second Chelek Yerideya, Simen Kuf Nun Zayin, that's a simen that speaks about Yehoreg Bal Yavor. The Ramah paskins like the Ramban and the Melchamis in Sanhedrin, Amdaf Ayin Dalet, who distinguishes between the two types of intermarriage. If it's a Jewish man who's married to a non-Jewish woman, or living with a non-Jewish woman, that is a more serious avera, and that is considered Yoharik Valyava. That's considered Gili Arais. If it's the reverse, if it's a Jewish woman who's living with a non-Jewish man, that's an avera. That's not considered Yoharik Valyava. That's not considered Gili Arais. You wouldn't say Yoharik Valyava. The Ramban has this in the context of the Gemara of Esther, Gemara Esther Kasha. How is Esther permitted to live with Ahasuerus? It was intermarriage, and the Avera was being done with Farhesia. So the Ramban has a kasha, what did the Gemara have to check on the Avera was being done with Farhesia? It's the Gili Arais. So he and there are Gemaras Beferish Gidushin that say that that a Jew should live with a non-Jewish woman constitutes Gili Arais. So the Ramban makes this distinction. And he says it's only if a Jewish man will be living with a non-Jewish woman that that's considered Gilei Arais in Yehoreg Bal Yavor, not the reverse. In fact, last Shabbos on Parshas Kisiso, when they were laying, so I noticed in the Sedra, the Pasuk only speaks about a Jewish man living with a non-Jewish woman, and then it says because it's going to lead to Avodah Zarah. That's what the Ramban emphasizes. The Psukim and Navi say, Kibol Basel Nechor. When a Jewish man lives with a non-Jewish woman, that's considered as if the Avodah Zarah became his mechutan. But it's the reverse. If it's a Jewish woman living with a non-Jewish man, so the children will be Jewish. It's not considered, it's an Avera. It's an Avera, like Lashon Hara. It's an Avera, like it may lead to to much worse things, but it doesn't necessarily have to. In fact, in the summertime, I go to Tannisville, where there's a mikveh, a kosher mikveh, that was made years ago. Shimon Shkop was there, Rabbi Chana Masmi used to use that mikveh. So the community is about 45 minutes or 55 minutes away from Albany. So there's a Jewish girl in Albany who went to Beis Yaakov in New York, and she was an older girl, she couldn't find the shidduch, so she married a guy. But she still observed Taras HaMishpacha, so she still continued to go to the mikveh. And the pashtus is that if a Jewish girl is married to a non-Jewish man, she does have to observe Taras HaMishpacha. Just because she's in violation of a bigger aveira doesn't remove you from the lesser aveira. There's a difficult tshuva in the Chelkas Yoyev. The Chelkas Yoyev is a Talmud of the Avni Nezer. He thinks that a Jewish girl who's living with a non-Jewish man, the laws of Nida don't apply. But he admits himself that it's in contradiction to Rabbi Yonis and Abishitz. Of course, Rabbi Yonis and Abishitz had said before that Esther went to Mikveh. She was living with Ahasuerus. She did observe the laws of Taras HaMishpacha. So he suggests, the Chalkas Yev suggests, that what the Rebbe Rabbi Yonis and Abishitz write, that's in his Drush Sefer, in Yaris HaDrash. It's only Aderech HaDrash, but Alpi Halacha, he thinks that it's not so. Anyway, but this girl holds like Rabbi Yonis and Abishitz, so she was observing Taras HaMishpacha. So when the mikveh lady in Albany found out about it, that this girl is living b'issa, so she must have asked the shaila, I guess, with the local rabbi. So the rabbi said, you're not permitted to allow her to use the mikveh, because the Rivosh is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. The Rivosh said that you're not permitted to allow a single girl to use the mikveh. And this is based on the Taisus. The Taisus says that the Bizmana Gemara, Bizmana Tanoim, that going to mikveh was relevant. The Tumah Letara, people had to eat Truma, they had to eat Kotchen, so single girls also went to the mikveh. And people went to the mikveh on Yom Kippur and on Tisha B'Av. The Gemara talks about, even though Rechitza Shel Tainug is prohibited on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, but if it's a Tfilah, that's for the purpose of Tahara, that's not called Rechitza Shel Tainug. And that's Mutar, but Taisa says that Bizman Azeh, that the whole issue of Tumah Letara is irrelevant, the only purpose of being tied for the mikveh is for the sake of Hekel Lagaila. So on Tisha B'Av or on Yom Kippur, when the woman is asur al bailo, so it's not proper to allow anyone to go to the mikveh. Even though it's a tefillah bizmana, we don't allow it bizmana zeh. And that's the way it says in Shulchan Aruch. So it's based on that the Rivosh says that if the girl is single, so there's no hetel bailo. Or over here, if the girl is married to a goy, so there is no hetel bailo. She's not allowed to live with the goy. So we wouldn't permit her to use the mikveh. So this woman started traveling to Tannisville. The mikveh is open in the summertime. So the woman traveled a couple of months in the summer to Tannisville. What she did the rest of the year, basically. But in the summertime, she traveled to Tannisville. So the mikveh lady in Tannisville didn't know. So calls him out, look, you don't know, so you're not mechuyev to go krich harayin into everybody's bones to find out what they're doing. A person comes to the mikveh, you don't ask them questions whether they're single or married. But then someone said that they should look into it, the woman may be married to a goy. So the mikveh lady wasn't mechuyev to look into it until she found out bevadai that the woman is married to a goy. So then she told her that she can't allow her to use the mikveh, even though the alternative is going to be worse. The alternative is that the woman will be in violation of Taras HaMishpacha. So the Nitziv has a tshuva where he points out, let's say a woman refuses to remove the chatzitzes that are only midrabban. So, and the alternative will be, so we don't allow them to use the mikveh, but the alternative will be she won't be using any mikveh, so she'll be in violation of an Issur Karet. So why not permit them to use the mikveh in violation of the Din D'Rabbanan, at least to remove the Issur Karet? So that Tziv writes in his Tshuvas, no. He says, as a matter of public policy, we cannot allow that. Tell the woman, go fly a kite, go somewhere else. Her rabbi has to convince her to go to some other mikveh somewhere with the Chatzitza D'Rabbanan. But as far as the public policy of the mikveh, we don't allow people to use the mikveh if they're not conforming even to the Din D'Rabbanan. So the same thing over here. In fact, there's an interesting tshuva in the Maharam Shik. It's halacha lemaisa. It should come up every so often. Let's say there's a couple, religious couple, they're both Jewish, religious couple who are married, and the wife's leil tvilosa is in the middle of the shiva simei avelus of the husband. The husband is sitting shiva. So one of the dinim of avelus shiva is that one is asa b'tashmish amito. So she's going to be tovel in the mikveh leil tvilosa. It won't be mata labayla. So do you say that the woman is not allowed to go to mikveh leil tvilosa because it's like Tisha B'Av or Yom Kippur? It's not mata labayla. But he say, no, that's not her, that's the husband has it. He's the husband is in the middle of Shiva. See, she's not in the middle of Shiva. So mitzi da, it's not a problem. If the girl is single, or if the girl is married to a goy, or if it's Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, so even looking from the perspective of the girl, she has no heter labayla. So then, that's what Taisa says, you wouldn't allow the woman to go to mikveh. But over here, where it's only from the perspective of the husband, from her perspective, the tefillah in the mikveh is matar labayla. So this is a deal in the Shalos HaTshuvos of the Maharam Sheik. It's interesting, that tshuva was written to Rab Shloimeh Breuer, the father of Rabbi Yosef Breuer, when he was engaged. Apparently he was going to a Hilchas Nida, so he sent a shayla to the Maharam Sheik. A common issue that comes up, a common shayla that comes up is if you have an intermarried couple, is it permissible to be megayer the spouse, the non-Jewish spouse or not? There is a mishnah in the end of the second perek in Yevamos that if a person is nitan ala shivcha v'ala nachris, rumor has it that he's having an affair with a nachris or with a shivcha. So if that woman will convert, or the shivcha will be nishtachar, so we are not permitted to allow them to marry. If they got married, and this is loytaitzah, you don't have to insist that they have to get divorced, but lechatchila loytinasim. The question is this prohibition only applicable if rumor has it that he was mezana with the nachris or with the shivcha? So he shouldn't marry the girl after she converts in order not to be machzik the rumor, in order to clear himself. But what happens, not a rumor, what if everybody knows that they're living together? It's not a shayla, he's going to be machzik the bad rumor, and everybody will say, aha, you see, he was really having an affair. Everybody knows that he was married with this woman, they have a few children. So some achrayim suggest that if it's a vada, you're not being machzik any rumors, then it is permissible for him to marry the girl later on. The achrayim point out that the Tosefta says otherwise. Rav Chaim Oizen, in the third chelik in Achiezer, has a few tshuvas about geirus. So he points out that the Tosefta says explicitly faker, that even if you know bevadai that the fellow was living with the woman, they were married together, still, after she converts, he's not allowed to marry her. So the poskim say that bizman hazeh we don't observe that din. Bizman ha-mishnah, the social pressure would be such that if we say you're not allowed to marry the girl, so he's not going to marry the girl, what, he's going to live in sin? But Bizman HaZeh, he was living with the girl for a couple of years already. Everybody knows, they were married secularly, they were married by a reform rabbi, whatever. So Bizman HaZeh, we won't accomplish anything by insisting that we're not going to be Masada Kiddushin, so Shem Besa that they should have an Orthodox marriage than to have a reform marriage. Then the question is, what if we're going to convert the man or the woman? We know they're probably not going to observe. It's pretty clear they're not going to observe Taras HaMishpacha. So are we doing them a favor by saving them from the non-Jewish spouse is not in violation of anything over here? The Jewish spouse is in violation of the prohibition of Nisui Tarugas, either the Issa Choma Miod or the lesser Issa, whatever. If it's a Jewish man living with a non-Jewish woman or divorce, whichever Issa it is. So are we really accomplishing such Gevaldigen, Arois, and Flores by being Megayer, the non-Jewish spouse, Adirah? But now, the one who is converted is going to be in violation of Issa Nida every day, if they're not going to go to the mikvah. So that's Rab Chaim Oizer writes in his Sefer, he doesn't think that it's proper to convert such a person. You shouldn't look, you shouldn't have this concept, this attitude that you're saving the Yehudi spouse from violation of living with the Nachris or living with the Nachri, whatever the case happens to be. Adirabba, now you're going to be machshel the non-Jewish spouse. And Kozman, the person was non-Jewish, they weren't in violation of Issa Nida. Now you're going to convert them. The Bezmin will do the Geirus, will be in violation of Lifnei V'Sikdei Michshel. Like there's a discussion in Achrayim about teaching Torah to a Nachri. The Gemara says one is not permitted to teach Torah to a Nachri. So the shayla is, what if a Nachri wants to convert? So you're not allowed to teach Torah to the Nachri. So Rabbi Kevega says, no, Rabbi Kevega has a tshuva. You're not allowed to teach anything. You have to wait till after they're Megai. And our common practice is that it's not so. We follow the other opinions that bedavke you have to be malamed everything. So the Mincha Solozer writes, the Minkacha is usually very machma and everything. So he writes in his tshuva, Adarabba, he says, if the Bezin will convert a person, let's say they'll convert a man before they teach him Hebrew. So they're going to convert him a 9:45 in the morning. He doesn't know how to light tefillah, doesn't know how to say krishma, he doesn't know how to daven. So the bezin who's going to convert him will be in violation of lifnei v'sikdei michshel. They're converting a person, and before he converts, he's not mechuyev in any of these mitzvahs. Now they convert him, he becomes mechuyev in all the mitzvahs, he's physically unable to do it. He doesn't know how to light tefillah, he doesn't know how to pronounce the words of krishma, he doesn't know how to daven. So it's usually assumed like that, that it's not proper to convert someone if you know in advance that you're going to be machshel them in Yisrael. So that's where Rav Chaim Oizer writes it. It's not proper. You're not allowed to be Megayer or somebody. It's not a cheshbon that he's saving the Yehudi or the Yehudiyah from violation of the Yisr of intermarriage. It's a bigger Avera, the Lifni, the Sita Michshel, is a bigger Avera that you're causing the Nochri, who is now Mizgayer, you're causing him to be in violation of the laws of Taras HaMishpach. No, of course, this is a din lachatchila, that it's improper to be Megar. What if they're not asking you? What if they come? It's Lachar HaMaisa. They come and they say, they insist they want to get converted. So it's not your Avera, Lifni, the Sita Michshel. So the shaila is, where's the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs? If I know in advance that they're going to violate Taras HaMishpacha, so where's the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs? So the post can point out that when we do a Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs, the Gemara says you don't ask every single sif in Shulchan Aruch. It'll take forever. You ask Mitzvahs Mitzvahs Kalos and Mitzvahs Mitzvahs Chamuras, and then you say that the Torah has much more than this. You have to study for the rest of your life and learn up on all the laws of Yiddishkeit and promise to observe everything else that'll come your way. Anything that you'll find out about in the future. So even if you leave out specifically speaking about Taras HaMishpacha, but the Yevid, the Geirus would be good. The Morris says in Choyres and Daf Lamed that if a Geir is Mizgayer and he says, I accept everything Chutz Midover Echad, I don't accept this. He explicitly says, I don't accept this. So then the Geirus is not valid at all. But if the Geir or the Geirus, if the candidate for conversion didn't say accept for this, even though we know that they probably will never get to observe that din, they're not going to observe the laws of the Taras HaMishpacha, but still, since we didn't say explicitly Chutz Mizeh, so the Poskim say that B'diyevet such a Geirus could be good. But Rav Chaim Oizer says L'Hatchila, you certainly shouldn't participate in such a Geirus because it's really a problem of Lifnei V'Lisita Michshel. Shouldn't try to convince the non-Jewish spouse to convert. If they're not interested in converting, shouldn't convince them to convert in order to save the Jewish spouse from the violation of the intermarriage, you said, because convincing them to convert is a lifneva on the non-Jewish partner. Shaila is... So we should try to save the husband from his Yisr, let's say. But to save the husband at the expense of the girl? Is that right? To cause, right now the girl is not doing, the non-Jewish woman got herself a nice Jewish boy. She's not doing any Avera. He's doing a very serious Avera. So we're gonna cause her to do an Avera in order to save him from a bigger Avera. Is that right?
What?
Chatei, that's Rav Chaim Oizer quotes that Gemara. Is that proper to say to her, Chatei, Bishvil Sheyizkach Avercha? You should do a slight Avera, a violation of Koris every day, of Boal Anido, in order to save your husband from the Aveir of Yehorek Bal Yavin. Is that right? So that's Rav Chaim Oizer thinks that that's not right. That that's not
assuming
a proposition.
Assuming you can't persuade, in other words, it's not fair on the Jewish spouse to convert to Judaism, if you could break this up, you should break this up. Let's assume that you can't break this up. They're very committed to each other. Does that change at all? Or because in the final analysis,
Many times the Yevid becomes L'chatchila B'Sha'as HaTchak, but I don't see that here it's a Sha'as HaTchak. The Sha'as HaTchak means that you're stuck and it's going to pay. Here Rav Chaim Oizer says, it's not going to pay. Why should I be marshal the non-Jewish woman? Lifniva applies to non-Jews also. The Gemara says, you're not permitted to give an Eivim and Achai to a Benar. So here I'm encouraging a woman to violate an Issa Karis for the rest of her life in order to save her husband from the Yehari Valyav. So that's not right. In Shulchan Aruch, in fact, they pass that Issa Nida is also Yehari Valyav. Issa Nida is Yehari Valyav, so you're not good. So in the days of the Gemara, where the Jewish community practiced the religion in a more or less normal fashion, so you convert a person without instructing him of all the laws of Kol HaTorah Kula, on the assumption as he goes along he's going to pick up the rest.
No, but as you go along, anytime, he's going to be getting quite a record of
Averus. No. So you try to teach the basic dinim before they convert, on the assumption that the little details they pick up later.
What I'm saying is that if once the person converts and you have a relationship with that person, you'll be in a better position to be process of education. In other words, you won't worry that in the first year, for example, you won't be going to be. But you know that through this relationship, you will, a year or two from now, bring her to that. Do you then have to worry about the areas that you'll be committing the first year, or can you work on that?
You mean if I think they're going to live in my community and I'm going to work with them? Nope. You have to have a rabbi who's very yibiki gebur. That's a cheshbon. I would consider that a serious cheshbon. You have to have a rabbi who has time to be metapel in his balabatim, and the balabatim are going to stay here for a while.
That rabbi then not be concerned that he is putting her in a position where bringing her bitch.
Yeah, I would understand such a cheshbon. I would see that, but that's only with a lot of conditions that I can foresee that this couple is going to stay in my community for a while. Today, people take off after half a year. They go somewhere else. And I talk at work with the Balabatim. I work on Taras HaMashbach. Many Rabbanim give up in advance. They can't work. Let's say they're all Jewish. Many Rabbanim have no intermarriages. Many Rabbanim find it too difficult to work on Taras HaMashbach. So if it's such a rabbi who is taka energetic and he's charismatic and he plans to work with this couple, I can see such a cheshbon. Oh no, I can see that. Oh no, no. But it has to be such a person who can foresee in the future that he's going to get somewhere. The question is really, is he just having chaloimus or is he taka predicting the future? That's the question. The Melamed Lohoyel, of course, has his famous difficult shuv about a kohen who is living with a non-Jewish woman. Is it permissible to be megayer the non-Jewish woman, knowing in advance that the whole purpose of the conversion is that she should marry the kohen? So Melamed Lohoyel was a Talmud of the Maharam Sheik. So he says that it's permissible, and he quotes from his Rebbe, the Maharam Sheik, that he has two shuvas in Chelek Eben Ezer, where he says that boyel aram is kanoim pogim bo. Obviously means that there's a misa, and there's koris medivri kabbalah. The Gemara quotes the pasuk that there's koris by the Jewish man who's living with the non-Jewish woman. So this is the kanoim pogim bo is only if it's befarhesia. What if it's not befarhesia? What if it's only betzinah? Then you don't say kanoim pogim bo. So he quotes from his Rebbe, the Maram Sheik, who has a tshuva where he quotes the Chidush Aran. Chidush Aran at Sanhedrin, and not Gemara, where the Aran says that the koris is there even if it's Bitsina. Even if he's living with the woman Bitsina, not Bafasi, it's still Kara. So therefore he goes through this cheshbon that it's Kedai. He should be Megayer, the non-Jewish woman, in order to save the Kohen from the Issa Koris of living with the Nachrios, and now it'll only be a lesser Aveira of a Kohen living with a Grusha. It's Chutz Midover Echod. He's Megayer her knowing that she's going to violate Aveira. So he says again the cheshbon, you're not going to save the fairish Chutz Midover Echod. We know on Aron they're going to violate it. But we don't speak about that. When we're going to have the Kabbalah on mitzvahs, we won't discuss that. This is a very difficult shuva, and this is generally not the accepted opinion. In fact, Chief Rabbi...
That's Rabbi Isser. It's his Isser, Rabbi Isser.
Right.
I mean,
so you're telling her to sin.
So that avoids her... I mean, she's going to say the Bar of Erev, like a very kind of...
No, the Isser...
So it's not her Isser to live with him, it's his Isser to live with her.
No, the Gemara says the Isser is on both. The Gemara says, even Isuri Kahuna, whenever the husband is a Kohen, he's in violation. Yeah, Kohen lives with a Grusha, Zayna, Halal, everything. Both of them get Malkus. Yeah, they both, the Gemara has like the Beferish, they both get Malkus. It's an Avera on both of them. So this position of the Melamed Lohayel has not been accepted. I don't know, I'm told that some Rabbanim here in America do follow this recommendation, but Rav Herzog writes in his Tshuvas, Nehechal Yitzchak, he says, Me'olam la shamayna, we have never heard of any Bezna Chutz Lords that did that. In fact, I'm not so convinced that the Melamed Lohoyel did it either, because if you read the introduction to the Melamed Lohoyel, which is written by the son, he writes it after the father passed away, had all of these Tshuvas on his desk, cluttering up all the drawers of his father's desk, and he gave it to a Talmid Chacham, and he put it in order, and he published the Sefer posthumously after the father passed away. I have a lot of things on my desk also, in my handwriting, that I wrote. That I didn't, I started to write something, then I changed my mind. If I didn't print it, so you can't, if it was printed after I died, so you can't necessarily rely on it, that it was halacha l'maisa. I'm not so convinced about this, even the Melamed Lohoyel himself. One of the mesmochim from the yeshiva mentioned to me that quite a few years ago, he had such a case. He was in the rabbin. He had such a case, and he spoke to Rav Soloveitchik about it. So the Rav told him that he shouldn't be Megayer. So, oh, I don't know. Oh, no, no. This person told me the following story. So he mentioned to the Rav, but someone showed him a tshuva from the Malamed Lohayel, where he's Mekel. So he said, the Rav said, Ich bin euch an Achren. He said that I'm also entitled to my opinion. And I tell you, don't follow the Malamed Lohayel. He said that he's wrong. You shouldn't follow this Malamed Lohayel. It's a difficult tshuva. What did the Rav tell you?
I did have the case, and I did call up something, Jimmy, and he said, that's what you know around.
Uh-huh.
That's
not proper. The Gemara has machlekes hatanoim. If you have an intermarried couple, what's the status of the child? Different opinions. It's interesting. Tosis points out at the end of the first parak in Yevamos that there are three different opinions when you have an intermarriage. What's the status of the child? So one opinion is that in order for the children to be Jewish, you require both parents have to be Jewish. One opinion is, like the Reform, either the father or the mother will accomplish that the child should be Jewish. And the accepted opinion is the way it says in the Mishnah, that it's all determined by the mother. And the fourth opinion, which should have been the normal opinion, which should have been that it should all depend on the father, nobody ever said like that. That should have been the normal opinion. If you have an intermarried couple and they're both Jewish, the father's a kohen, the mother's not. The mother's a kohenis and the father is not. So the din is l'mishpachos and l'beis, and it's all determined by the father. If you have an intermarried couple, they're both non-Jewish. One is an Amaleki and one is a Frenchie. One is a Chiti Amoyer, a priest, a Gus Vagir Goshi, and the other one is a Mitzri Vedoymi. So there are differences lahalacha. How do you determine the status of the child? Is the child a Mitzri, an Adoymi, an Amaleki, a Chiti, what is he? So the Gemara says, Haloich Achar Azocha, it's determined by the father because of Mishpachosim Leveis Avosim. So punkt over here, that Shita doesn't exist at all. That you should say that in an intermarriage it should all be determined by the father, that doesn't exist at all. That's an interesting question, and there's a very interesting answer to that question for some other occasion, not for now. Anyway, Allah Almighty, we know how we pass when that is determined by the father. So the Gemara, by the mother, excuse me? It's determined by the mother. Okay. See, I didn't have enough decaffeinated. So the Gemara has a discussion, would the child be a mamzer or not? Akam habo abas Yisrael, so the child is Jewish, would the child be a mamzer? So it's a machlokes in the Gemara, and the Gemara comes to the conclusion, the child is not a mamzer. So what does that mean, the child is not a mamzer? It means the child is Jewish because the mother is Jewish, and the child is not a mamzer. That's the pashup shot in the Gemara. However, the commentaries on Shulchan Aruch quote Rashi in one place, and Tosis in one place, and the whole group of Rishonim say no. Akam habo amas yisrael avlad kosher, the child is not a mamzer because he's not Jewish at all. If and when the child will convert, then there won't be any problem of mamzeris because right now the child is not Jewish. That's not the accepted opinion in the Shulchan Aruch, but the Noisei Kelim on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, Rebbe Kiveger and the others, and the Pischei Tshuva Barichas, they always quote this Rashi and the Taisvis and Yevomis and the Kiddushin and the Sugis, the Rashi and the Taisvis and the Marsha. Masha points it out that these here and there you have these Rishonim Halorim like that. So the question is, do you have to be concerned about this? Is there even a Hidur L'chatchila to convince the child at some later stage that he should be Megar? So this is a difference of opinion. Some Rabbonim in our generation feel that you should be Machmer, and some hold that it's not even worth being Machmer about this.
Is this where the mother is Jewish or only the father?
Right, where the mother is Jewish, yeah.
The child is not automatically Jewish, you're born after them.
That's how we usually assume like that. If the mother is Jewish, the child is Jewish. But a group, not half of the Rishonim, a significant minority opinion says, Akam habo al bas Yisrael havlad kosher, means a kosher regoi. He's a kosher regoi. He won't be a mamzer. If and when we'll convert him, he won't be a mamzer. Because right now, he's not Jewish. You can't be a mamzer if you're not Jewish. That's not the accepted opinion, but the shaila, there is a machlekes among poskim. Is it recommended to be machmer for that opinion? Take for example, this couple, this Jewish woman who has a non-Jewish husband, they had a baby boy. The baby boy, b'shatav maslach, was born on Shabbos. So the milah b'zmana is set for Shabbos. Are you allowed to be mal the baby on Shabbos? So they say no, it's a milah shel geirus. Milah shel geirus is not derech Shabbos. So Rabbi Kiveger, on the side of the Yeridei, it says you shouldn't do the milah on Shabbos because the poskim say you should be choshish for the Rashi and the Taisus. So that's the question, are we really choshish for that Rashi and Taisus? That the Akam HaBo Abbas Yisrael, the Vlad is a goy? So that's Shaila Halacha L'maisa. What's the story with Pidyon HaBen? What's the story with Pidyon HaBen if the mother is Jewish and the father is a goy? So the Mishnah says, So the Mishnah says that there is a need for Pidyon HaBen, but the father is a goy. Obviously, he can't do the Pidyon HaBen. So who does the Pidyon HaBen? Oh, so that's a machlokes. What do you do? The Rambam quotes the Rivosh in Hilchos Pidyon HaBen that when there's no father around, either the father absconded or the father is not alive, whatever. So the Rivosh says you have to wait till after the child is bar mitzvah. He should do his own Pidyon HaBen. The Bezin cannot do Pidyon HaBen on behalf of the father. Either the father does it or the child does his own Pidyon HaBen after he reaches bar mitzvah. The Shach disagrees. The Shach quotes from the Tzedek LaDerech. Tzedek LaDerech has a commentary on Pirush Rashi al HaTorah by the author of the Be'er Shema. So he quotes from the Tzedek LaDerech that he disagrees with this Rivosh, and the Vilna Goyim says, look in the Shach, the Iker is like the Shach, and that was the Minig in Lithuania. They followed, that's how the Ohal Shulchan writes, that's how Rav Soloveitchik said, in Lithuania the Minig was that they followed the Vilna Goyim Shita, that you do, the Bezin does Pidyon HaBen. When the baby is 31 days old, the father's not around, but the father's a goy, so the Bezin does the Pidyon HaBen. In Hungary, in Galicia, the Achareinim write that they followed the Chasam Sofer, who was choshish for both shitas, that when the child is 31 days old, the Bezin should do the Pidyon HaBen b'li brocha, and then later, when the child grows up, after bar mitzvah, he should do Pidyon HaBen again without a brocha, if you have such a circumstance that they're asking a shayla. Okay. So that's the din in that case. There is a Mishnah in Pchoiris that if a Kohen is metame lemesim, a Kohen is married to a grusha, we wouldn't permit him to do hakrobas karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash. Some Rishonim write, the Raven in his Pirush on the Torah's Kohenim writes as if this is a din deraisa, and that's not the generally accepted opinion. We assume that it's only a knas mederabonim. We don't allow him to be makar karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash. Does that apply to all in Yoni Kuhuna? You wouldn't permit him to get the first aliyah, you wouldn't permit him to duchen either? Or is it only a chumra midirabbanan with respect to hakrovas karbonis? So this is a machloikis among the goinim that the Mishnah Berurah quotes in Simon Kuf Chav Ches, that's the Simon about Messias Kapayim. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes that the overwhelming majority of the goinim all were of the opinion that this chumra only applies to hakrovas karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash, and doesn't apply to other issues of kuhuna. It does not apply to getting the first aliyah. It does not apply to duchening. But the Mechaber paskins like that. Shulchan Aruch paskins like the minority opinion. Rav Shmuel Goyen or somebody, he quotes this, not one of the famous, not Rav Hai Goyen, it's not one of the famous Goyen, one of the lesser known Goonim. The Shulchan Aruch paskins like that opinion that if the Goyen is married to a Grusha, Mitamil Mason or something like that, he's in violation of one of the kahuna dikadim. If he talks Lashon Hara, or he's Machal Shabbos, or he eats treifas, this doesn't prevent him from duchening. But if he violates a kahuna dikadim, then it does prevent him from duchening. So the shayla is, what if the kohen is married to a shiksin? Does this prevent him from duchening? No, kohen living with a shiksin is a chanisa zayna. So that's a kahuna dikadim. But a kohen living with a non-Jewish woman is a chadin for every Jew also. The kohen who lives with a non-Jewish woman is in violation of two issur. It's a violation of the general prohibition of intermarriage, a violation of the kohen dikedin. So the question becomes, does this prevent him from duchening? Is he demonstrating that he's mezalzel in dine kohuna or not? So there is a, you may be familiar with this volume, the Shadashuv is Bemara HaBozok from Kohel Eretz Chemda in Eretz Yisrael. People fax them shaylas from all over the world, usually from places where there aren't enough rabbanim, usually from South America, from Europe, different places. Once in a while they get a shayla from New York. That's a little strange. Why do they have to send a shayla over there? It's interesting, parenthetic. I saw in this volume, Chela Gimel, the two wise guys from New York sent them shaylas about women's prayer groups. So they wrote the tshuvas, Rabbi Shechter said that it's awesome. It means, what do you ask us? And I saw, you have a rabbi in New York, you can ask him. But when they get the shaylas from Uruguay, Paraguay, Cuba, whatever, India, Pakistan, so then they send them a tshuva. The tshuvas are usually very straight, nothing complicated. So in the first volume of these collection of tshuvas, they wrote that if a kohen is living with a non-Jewish woman, it's a kohen dikadin. He's not allowed to duchen. So and this tshuva was sent to Paris. They have rabbonim in Paris also. So there's a big talmid chacham in Paris, Rabbi Rabibo, I think his name is, who participated yesterday in the conference. So he disagreed, and he sent a letter to Rav Shaul Yisraeli, who used to be the head of this kollel there at Chemda, explaining why he thinks that a group of Rishonim would be Megdal in this case. Rav Shaul Yisraeli disagrees with him, and he quotes, Rabibo had a whole lamdashe, he's a very big lamdashe, they're the government. But the Pashtuns is really the way they write, that the Kohen is not allowed to do Chana. And they quote the classical Poskim from Europe before the Second World War, right like that, that the Kohen is living with a non-Jewish woman. Of course he's not allowed to do Chana. That's the Pashtuns like that. What about Bechlau? What about Bechlau getting an Aliyah? If a man is intermarried, are you permitted to give him an Aliyah? So the Sfida Yeish has a tshuva, and Or HaChaim Sin involved, where he quotes from one of the Hungarian Gedolim before the war, that it says in Shulchan Aruch that if a person was put in cherem for averus that he did, then you cannot be mitzarif him to a minyan, you cannot give him an aliyah. What if he did averus and he was not put in cherem? Wasn't put in cherem. So then you may give him aliyahs and you may be mitzarif him to a minyan. But the shaila here is, before the war, the Jews weren't permitted to put anybody in cherem. It was against the din of the malchusim. So what if a person did averus for which he deserved to be put in cherem, but we didn't have the courage to put him in cherem because they'll put us in jail if we'll put him in cherem? So the Hungarian, he quotes from the Zichron Yehuda, one of the Hungarish Gedolim, who says that since he did an aver for which he deserved to be put in cherem, so you go bas a time of a lot bas a shmo. You ignore the fact that you didn't put him in cherem officially. What's the whole reason that one was in cherem and not allowed to get an ali and not allowed to mix arf him in? You have to be marchik that person. So here also you have to be marchik the person. That's what the Sridi Yesh wrote. No, the Sridi Yesh wrote this before the Second World War. The Shaila is today, does such a person deserve to be put in cherem? If the intermarriage rate is more than 50%, how can you say that the guy doesn't know what he's doing? He doesn't realize what the Chaimah Hoiser is. The Swedish is writing there in Hungary, he's writing, he lived in Germany. At a time that intermarriage really meant something, that people realize that they're doing something wrong, so he deserves to be put in cherem. It's not an automatic din that whoever intermarries with a non-Jewish woman deserves to be put in cherem. It depends on the nature of the society. Are you going to accomplish anything by the cherem? Does he understand that he's in violation of such a seer? Cherem is an inyan of bez makam yanshin shalai menadim. Cherem means you give a curse that the person should drop dead. Does he deserve such a curse he should drop dead? He doesn't even realize he's doing anything wrong. He's doing what most people, most Jews, are intermarried. So he's doing the same as everybody else. It's so hard to apply. It's hard to apply this Sridayesh Bizman Hazeh to say that a man is intermarried and not allowed to give him an aliyah. He can't be mitzar from Tamiya. The guy comes to show, so you give him an aliyah. You shouldn't give him that aliyah that speaks about intermarriage. If he violates, you shouldn't give the aliyah of Shabbos to a Jew who doesn't keep Shabbos. You can't give an aliyah of Kashrus. You can't give the aliyah of Kashrus to the Jew who violates Kashrus. That's what the Chassam Sefer writes. Pardon me? No. It says that if he doesn't hold, if he doesn't keep that, that's not proper. No, if he doesn't keep. I don't know. He sees everybody else as marrying sheets.
He knows he shouldn't do it.
I don't know, maybe. I don't think it's very serious. Shliach Tzibur is supposed to be a religious person. It has to be Merutza Lakol. If the guy's not Merutza Lakol, then he's not allowed to be the Shliach Tzibur. Let's say Duchne. This fellow's married to a non-Jewish woman. So if, even according to Rabbi Rabibo, that he's a lot of duchen, Shtikol Torah, has all Shtikol, he's a lot of duchen, alam de shevart. But if the people are unhappy about it, then for sure he's not a lot of duchen. To daven for an omid, or to get an ali, you don't have to be merutza l'kol. But to daven for an omid, or to duchen, you have to be merutza l'kol. If he's not merutza l'kol, there's nothing to discuss. If he is merutza l'kol, the people don't really care. The guy has yartza, whatever, he wants daven for an omid. Okay. L'chatchile, Shliach Tzibur is supposed to be Azayin Tzen Azelas. But if he can't, so Shas Atchak Yevedon. Shas Atchak, he can allow him to give it. The Chassam Sefer has an interesting tshuva, where he was asked a shaila. Some people developed a practice, a minig, that if they daven Nusach Hari, you're not allowed to daven for an omid if you're wearing silken clothing. Yeah, silk clothing. No, only if he daven Nusach Hari in the shul. So they asked the Chassam Sefer, what does he say? So he says, they're crazy. We should go, what has it got to do with anything? So he says, when you want to develop a minig, you have to know how to learn also. You can't just develop a minig to walk on your head on Wednesday mornings. So he says, my Rebbe Rav Nosson Adler, he knew how to make minhagim. So he says, the Rebbe wouldn't give an aliyah, one who's not nizer on chadash, he wouldn't give him that aliyah about chadash. One who doesn't keep kosher wouldn't give him that aliyah about kosher. He says, that minig makes sense. And he quotes Shachan Yeriday about that, that one was a mamzer, you shouldn't give him that aliyah about Layova mamzer b'kal Hashem, because he's going to feel unhappy about that din. Even though he's a religious Jew, he's not going to be too thrilled about that parsha. So he says to give an aliyah to a person who violates that that din that says an aliyah, that's an eitzah, that's an interesting minute. But stam to make a minig yesh meyayin, not to allow a shliach tzibah to daven for an omer if he's wearing silk, that doesn't make any sense at all. Okay. The Mogen Avraham quotes, and in some communities the teichicha was the schus of the rabbi. By yos, the rabbi gets aseres adibritz, he gets chazak, he gets shira. In other communities, the rabbi got the teichicha. That was a special schus.
Depends what they wished them.
No, the Mogen Avraham quotes, he used to write it in the rabbi's contract. He's entitled to get the teichicha. That was because it's a takonis Ezra, that you should lay the teichicha in b'chukosai before Shavuos, to lay the teichicha in kisavah before Rosh Hashanah. It's a special kriya, like Parsha Zohar. Special kriya. So these the rabbi write it in the rabbi's contract, he's entitled to get the teichicha. Yes.
To be able to be the shliach tzibah, and you're saying that he has to be merutz l'kol, this is the majority of the kol. There's no congregation like in Kingsway Jewish Center which you ever have, even 90% of the people that say that a Aronsky is good enough, is from enough to daven Musaf the Shabbos on Shabbos. That'll never happen.
You never have Merutza Lekol.
You'll not even have 80% Merutza.
If you
have 75, you're doing great. I mean, I'm speaking from personal experience because I happen to daven over there.
No, Merutza to Rov HaKohol.
I'm saying the Rov HaKohol.
Rov HaKohol. No, okay. No, Merutza to the Rov HaKohol. The Rov HaKohol. Okay.
Today you have the ritual committee,
they represent the people. Good. Yeah. Let's say, for example, a person has yahrzeit, he wants a daven for an omer. He davens very slowly, or he pronounces ivra poorly. So if he's not merutza l'kol, because daven too fast, too slow, a different havara. So he shouldn't daven for an omer. Rav Moshe didn't daven for an omer when he had yahrzeit, because he felt that he davened so slowly that people wouldn't be happy about it. People would have been thrilled. But he felt that people wouldn't be happy. So he didn't daven for an omer. You're not allowed to daven for an omer if you're not merutza l'kol. There is a literature in Poskim about the following thing. The Gemara in Bechoris makes a statement that if a non-Jewish woman lives with a Leviya is living with a non-Jew, so the child will be a Levi. That's what the Gemara says. When do you say mishpachas av kriy mishpacha? Mishpachas say meni kriy mishpacha, that the status of the child is determined by the father, not by the mother. That's if the father has what to offer. But if the father, the child is not mishyachas after the father at all, because the mother is Jewish and the child is Jewish. The father is not Jewish. So the child is Jewish and the father is not Jewish, there's no relationship al pidin, halachically they're not related at all. So since there's no mishpachas av to speak of at all, so the Gemara says that then mishpachas ein kriy mishpacha, so the mother is a Levi, so the child will be a Levi. So does that really mean the child is a Levi? He gets the Aliyah Levi when he grows up, he gets the Aliyah Levi. So there was a rabbi from Amsterdam by the name of Rabbi Yust who kept on writing in Hapardes, I think 10 essays about this time, kept on writing about this. The Maram Shik has a tshuva about this also. He discusses, let's say they have a daughter. The mother is a Leviya and the father is a Nachri, and they have a daughter. Would you consider the daughter a Leviya so that when she marries and she has a baby, her child doesn't have to have pidyon haben? If the mother's a Levi, you don't have to have ben. So the Maram Shik has a brief tshuva. He thinks that that's not what the Gemara meant. The Gemara just meant if the mother's a Levi, there's a slight pidyon of Levius in the child. But it's not to be taken seriously, not to be taken literally. The child is Nishkan Levi. If the couple, let's say this, we were discussing before, let's say this intermarried couple, one of them will convert. So the din is that you're supposed to have havchana. The Gemara says whenever you have a gyros, you have to have havchana. The Chelkas Mechoikik and Ebn Ezra has a sofik regarding havchana by a gyros. Is it a loy plug or not? Havchana by a woman who is divorced or an almana, the Gemara says that's a loy plug rabbanon. Even if Eliyahu Anavi comes and he tells you, Benavu, that this woman is absolutely not pregnant, she's 95 years old and the husband was sick and imprisoned for the last 10 years, and clearly she's not pregnant and she's not expecting to become pregnant, so So still, the Gemara says that it's a loyplu rabbani, you still have to have havchana. But what about by a giyoris? The Gemara never says beferish whether by giyoris it's a loyplu or not. So the chalkas mechoki can have an ez is misukuk and the dogum revava is mekel. That by giyoris it's not a loyplu rabbani. So let's say, Rav Moshe says, let's say the woman just had her period. So today we know when a woman has a period, you know for sure that that she's not pregnant. Or they have a pregnancy test. Rav Moshe said that you can rely on a pregnancy test also. So then you don't have to wait for the havchana.
They
do insist that they should
even
wait.
Even though in halacha, it's not necessary.
The East, Rabbi Louis Bernstein, Zechariah Levracha, Rabbi Louis Bernstein, Zechariah Levracha, told us that he used to do a lot of conversions for the Jewish agency when there would be couples who were going there. So one wouldn't be Jewish. So they would always send him to him, he should take care of the conversions. So he said more than once, he got a phone call from Eretz Yisrael. What are you, crazy? You have a Ksav Geiris dated this day, then you have a Ksav the Chasana the same day. What happened to the Havchana? So he said that he gave him the whole Shtikul Torah, that the Minchas Chinuch has a right from a Rambam, that the Dogma above is right, that's not a Loishluk, he had a whole Tshuva. So every time they called him up, they screamed and he said they made a pregnancy test and then the Poskim in America, say Lahak. There is a big discussion in Shulchan Aruch. Let's say the mother is not Jewish and the father is Jewish and they have a baby boy. The father wants to make a bris. So this was a big machlokes in Germany. Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer said he doesn't see what's wrong. The child is not Jewish, so you don't say a brach on the bris milah, but if you want to have a moel, do a bris. Why not? What's that there doing a bris? Not the shame gears. Says Madur Shnia after Rabbi Shlomo Breuer passed away, so he wanted one of his sons to become the rabbi. And his whole machlokes, so then they appointed Horowitz the Unsdorfer. But before, when Rabbi Hirsch came to Frankfurt, the Unsdorfer was in the Jastitz Gemeinde, in the Breuer's community, and Hirsch's community. But when Hirsch came to Frankfurt, the rabbi in the regular community was Horowitz. He was a big Talmud Chacham, also a big Talmud Chacham. He published a tshuva sefer called Mate Levi. He had a correspondence with Rav Yitzchok.
I'm going to go ahead and Ich bin nicht mehr so gut, dass ich nicht mehr so gut bin.